Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, actually, I'm very excited about this episode.
So am I.
Big fan of this guest for a long time.
You've been a fan of this guest for a long time.
Well, I mean, I guess she's been on TV, you know, her whole lives, right?
Been on TV, well, she's been on TV for 25 years.
24 years.
Nearly 25 years. 25 years and 6 months. So that's when her birthday is, as we find out on the podcast.
She's also a bit of an inspiration in the podcast world as well. You know,
huge inspiration in the podcast world. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see from our title, we have Fern Cotton on the podcast. Very exciting. She has a wonderful podcast, Happy Place. If you haven't listened to it yet, go and check it out. And we have a great chat with her today. Chat about life, social media, podcasting, Hillary Clinton.
She's a professional podcaster. You've got to give it to her. She knows exactly... She's very good at it.
Do you know what? Maybe we should interview each other at some point.
Yeah, that's true.
I think we've done that already, though.
Wait, I interview you and then you interview me.
Yeah.
Or you interview me and then I interview you.
Yeah.
Part one, I interview you. And then part two.
Part two. Don't we do that every bonus episode on Wednesday anyway?
If you haven't checked out those bonus episodes, give it a listen. Actually, I thought our one that we did yesterday was pretty good.
Fern's actually just DM'd me, so...
Oh, yeah?
She hasn't DM'd you, has she?
No. Well, because you told her to DM you in the episode.
Okay. Yeah, I did. That's true. Listen, we should probably get into it without further ado because we're delaying the inevitable. That sounded like it's a negative. It's not. This is a wonderful... wonderful episode of Private Parts. As always, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get involved in our bonus episodes, be listener of the week or send us a story or review or give a nomination of a charity or community of your choice that we want to give some helping hand of money to, send us your recommendations through our contact at privatepartspodcast.com or at Instagram at privatepodcast. Just DM us or send us an email. Frankie, I'm really excited about this one, so why don't you intro it, baby boy?
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, mother, broadcaster, writer, founder of Happy Place, at Happy Place Official, Fern Cotton.
On the podcast. Fern, I don't know if you've had this. You probably haven't. I think you're probably quite healthy, Fern. I've got a problem at the moment with eating. And for the first time, it's because now I'm 32, nearly 33, I wake up in the morning and I've got a belly. I've got like a little bit of a...
That's a good thing.
Is that a good
love
thing?
Love that little belly. You know, this is an extraordinary year and we're just doing our best to get through it, aren't we? I'm in and out of that snack cupboard all day long at the moment and I just don't care.
Do you mean, Jamie, do you mean you've got a belly as in like you've got a beer belly or you've...
It's not a beer belly.
Bloated.
It's not a beer belly. It's It's like a little, like, you can shake it.
Little pouch. I don't know what. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a pouch.
Just love it. Love that little pouch. And feel grateful that you've been filling that little pouch with food and not doing something worse.
What would I be filling it with that would make it worse?
Well, not necessarily filling your pouch with anything worse, but turning to an other awful habitual habit or just new bad habit. Stick with the biscuits, Jamie.
Oh, Fern, also, I just wanted to say I am so happy that we managed to persuade you to come on this podcast, because I feel like, you know, I've said this to you, I feel like you are the queen of podcasts, because you sort of started your wonderful one, Happy Place, about 5 years ago now. I think it was about four years ago.
Oh, maybe five. Four. Yeah, I think 4 years ago, something like that. Yeah, we've done over 100 episodes, which is wonderful.
It's amazing. Wow. And I'm a big fan of it. And
thank you.
And I think you're the kind of same. I think for me and Frances, you're the same. It's kind of saved us doing these podcasts. Do you not?
Yeah,
do you not
true.
Think so?
You know, I think you're right. I think because we feel so disconnected at the moment, and we're not, you know, having mates over for a cup of tea or even, you know, doing anything remotely fun. It's so nice to talk to interesting people and just...
It's true.
...really revel in just chatting and there being no other agenda. I love it.
Yeah, I love it too.
No, it's been amazing to, like, every week just be able to, you know, well, catch up with you, Jamie.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks, but that's what I was waiting for.
You said that with a real lack of sincerity there, Francis. I'm not sure what was behind that.
No, but
so unauthentic. It's like he's been held at gunpoint and forced to say it.
No,
I love how he always corrects your diction. It kills me all the time. You're relentless, Francis.
Thank you.
You know, I'm just trying to educate Jamie.
You're like the Instagram police who go, "I think you'll find you put the comma in the wrong place."
And but also, you know, every week get to, like you say, Fern, speak to someone new and interesting about something. And I guess ours is a very, let's say, politely, loosely formatted, meaning that there's no real format whatsoever. So it kind of is. It is really just a long rambling conversation, which is nice. So it's been. I think it has been a lifesaver.
What's with the bull?
Oh, I'm in Texas.
Right.
Is that it? That's the only. So you have a bull.
That's all we need. That's all we need.
I'm in Texas. That's a Texan Longhorn bull.
Got it. I've made the connection now.
Do you know what's funny as well, is that I developed, and maybe this is from doing television, but I developed about 2 years ago like a bit of social anxiety. And I'm a really like sort of outgoing kind of person. But I developed with my friends, I developed it weirdly. But actually doing the podcast, I had no anxiety doing it. And it was a weird thing where actually I found it easier to chat to strangers for a bit than it was to chat to friends. But I don't get where that... And I think a lot of people have that.
You mean you found it easier to chat to celebrities, to other celebrities, Jamie?
Well,
you found it difficult to chat to strangers.
I know what you mean, because I feel the same. And I don't know if it's because... I don't know how much prep you guys do, but I do... quite a good amount of prep before I do a podcast. So I feel pretty safe that wherever the conversation goes, I'll sort of be all right. And I've kind of put together a bit of a forecast as to where it might go. Oh. Whereas if you're a bit of a control freak like me, when you are chatting to someone you've bumped into at the, you know, news agent, or someone's called you out of the blue, it's the unknown.
Yes,
and I'm not very good
right.
with that. I don't like speaking on the phone, because I don't know when it's going to end. Like, how will I make this conversation stop without
Even voicemail, leaving a voicemail, I hate it. Because there's no response.
Yeah.
So you're, and then you, do you find, like, after I've left a voicemail, I just completely forgot what I said. And I'm like, did I say something really weird there? Or
yeah, the whole thing is awkward. But I think with a podcast, you're in the headspace of, I'm going into a big conversation. I want to find out something interesting. You know, and I know it's going to last roughly however your time limit is. Whereas if it's just random, you're not going to get into a deep chat on your local high street, are you really? You're going to do all of the, oh, isn't the weather bad? How's lockdown been? Is your nan's leg all right? You tick all the boxes, and it's just a sort of a dance rather than this is like, let's get into it.
Small
and
talk.
I like getting
small
into
talk.
It. I hate small talk. I've got no time for it.
Me too.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but I small talk is bad. And it happens more so now because I'm sort of in West London. And when I see a lot of people running past me, saw one of our friends run past today, and you don't know what to say. Oh, you do that weird, whoa! You sort of start to panic.
What have you been up to? Well, probably the same as you.
Yeah, nothing. Literally nothing.
I think what am I trying to get? I think my point is that, you know, okay, and by the way, for all of our listeners who haven't listened to your wonderful podcast, Happy Place, what it sort of represents is you talk to people about how they feel, how they deal with their emotions, and it's a sort of mental health podcast. If you had to sort of pigeonhole it, would you say it's that or?
Yeah, I think so. I think it started off like that, certainly, because it felt like that was the aim of what I was doing at the time, and I think it's sort of broadened out because sometimes we're not talking about mental health, we're talking about mental illness, and that's a whole other thing. That's, you know, something that requires, you know, different answers, solutions, and it has different complexities to if you are just talking about coping mechanisms or daily mental health. So I don't know what it is anymore. I think, you know, what I hope it is a safe space for people to feel they can discuss quite exposing and vulnerable things that will in turn help other people. I think that's the only point of it now.
Yeah, and I think that's my point. So I think my point is that for some reason, right, in our current situation or just life, we find it easier to open up to strangers about how we're feeling than we do to our own individual friends or family members. You know, I was trying to think about this.
I guess people don't want to be a burden on you know, the people in there. That, you know,
I think it takes great effort, doesn't it, as well? It takes a lot of effort. Like, you know, what I really realised when I did Who Do You Think You Are, I don't know how many years ago that was, I was sat with my mum and dad going, right, you know, tell me about your grandparents. And I was like, why have I not done this before? Why have I not asked about, you know, what did they do? Like, because you go around to your mum's house and you end up acting like a bit of a kid again and, oh, I'm tonguey, and you know, you just talk about how's your neighbour or whatever. You don't go to the meat. Like, let's talk about the cool stuff and our ancestry, or even just like, tell me about when you and Dad met, or like, you just, it's kind of awkward and it's not the norm. Whereas podcasting, that is the norm. So I think it's about breaking the norms, isn't it? And it's rare that you'll sit with a friend and go, tell me about the worst time in your life. Like, you don't want to really go there without warning. Whereas podcast world, it's kind of a given now that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But then also, I feel like what happens because I don't know if this happens to you, Fern, but I and Francis with you as well, I now find that, firstly, because we've done so many podcasts, sometimes it's quite hard to step out of that like interviewing way when you have like a dinner party. Like, even with my brother. How you been feeling?
Feel yourself switched on into the podcast mode sometimes at dinner.
It's not a bad thing. But also, man, do you find it easier to interview? Because you've pretty much interviewed people since you... Because your first ever TV job was when you were 15 years old.
Yeah.
Wow. So you've been interviewing people since you were 15.
Was that
15?
On CBBC?
First of all, I was actually on ITV for about, I don't know, four years. Then I moved to the BBC in my late teens. But I think we can use the term interviewing very loosely back then. Like, it was literally, hello, 911, the band. What's your favourite flavour crisps? And then they would say something. Are you going to do a song for us? I mean, it was a beyond basic. And I think I probably, you know, stuck to a very formatted kind of interview all through those years in my 20s, because there was always a purpose behind it. You know, someone was selling something, they were releasing an album or whatever it was, and you couldn't really move outside of that. Whereas I've really learned that now, doing this podcast, I've really learned, and I am still learning, it's not like I've nailed it, I'm learning every time I do one, something new. And
you feel like yourself getting better?
Oh, yeah. I fucking hope so. It's been so long. I really hope I've got better.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, even with private parts, like, we've done, I don't know how many episodes now, quite a few. But it's something that you wouldn't think, oh, well, we can get better at that. But actually, we feel like we are kind of getting the hang of it, finally.
It takes practice.
Do you ever get nervous, Fern? Do you ever get nervous when you're interviewing someone? Like now, you're probably...
We're interviewing her, Jamie.
But do you ever get nervous whenever you have a because you had Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, like that was terrifying. That wasn't nerve wracking. That was
mega.
Because it was also pre pandemic, so it was in the flesh. And I was I went to this hotel in the middle of London, and they were the only people in it. I think it was. I didn't see anyone else in there. And there were these huge men everywhere with walkie-talkies, and it felt scary. And I was sat in a boardroom for about half an hour because I got there obviously super early to kind of get settled and go, right, this is actually happening. And just knowing that at any moment she was going to walk in the door was just ridiculous. And I think the process is there's the anticipation, you hope you've done enough prep and et cetera. And then there's the bit just before where you're really nervous. And then the first 5 minutes, I think you and the guest are both finding your feet. And often if you haven't met them, you're sussing each other out. You're sizing each other up in a really positive way. Like, oh, I wonder how deep I can get into this chat and how quickly I can get into it. And the other person's going, oh, I wonder if I can feel relaxed around this person and if I trust them. And there's sort of a sweet spot, maybe like 15 minutes in, where I stop feeling nervous. Mm. And I'm like, I don't even think about anything. I'm just in it. But with the Hillary Clinton one, there were moments where when I got into that nice sweet spot and that comfort of I know where I'm going with it, it's all flowing well and she's saying really brilliant things, that my head kept going, oh my God, you're interviewing Hillary Clinton. Oh my God, you're interviewing Hillary Clinton. And I just couldn't, stop thinking that because it was just such a surreal moment. But yeah, I still feel nerves. I would hate it if I didn't because that would mean I had nothing to lose. Yeah. And I love what I do, so I don't want it to end.
And it makes you focused, right? And makes sure you're on your game, right? It ensures that you do your prep as you feel necessary.
Yeah, you know what, Francis? I don't have the self-confidence to not be nervous. I'm not the sort of person who's like, I've been doing this for years. I know what I'm doing. I can interview anyone. Every time I go to
it's like Jamie doing stand-up.
Yeah. So... So every time I go into that situation, in my head, I'm going, can I do this? Am I prepped enough? Will this person like me? Is this going to go okay? Will this be the one dud episode of the series? You know, I feel like I've got everything to lose every time I do it because I don't have that natural self-esteem of I'm absolutely winning at life. I always expect to get some criticism or I'm waiting for it to some extent and I want to do my best. I really love what I do. So I think it comes from that place, really.
So do you still hang out with Hillary? So.
All the time. She was over here the other day wearing her face mask. We were having a great old chinwag. I mean, no, I've not seen her since, but it was a moment I won't forget.
Do you know what? Yeah. It's fun. It's so funny you say that because it is. When you have these chats, and I suppose for like listeners listening to this, it's like having when you go to like a dinner party or whatever, you find that sweet spot where suddenly you go, oh, okay, I now understand the dynamic between us. And it's a sort of subconscious thing that suddenly happens when you're interviewing someone. And also what you do get is you can read a situation where suddenly you realize something is going really badly. And then you know that
turn it around. Yeah. I think you
even on a budget. Quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
turn it around. Like, unlike at a dinner party where that sweet spot probably happens because you're a bit pissed, in an interview, you just have to rely on, I think it's...
riding the wave.
Yeah, and reading the situation. Like, reading, is this the right time to ask this question or whatever? And I remember when I interviewed Jada Pinkett Smith for the podcast, again, it was in the flesh, in a studio. I'd never met her before. She obviously had no clue who I was. I'm a big fan of hers. Yeah. And for the first 10 minutes, I think she was really working out, like, do I want to do this? Do I want to answer these questions? And I was trying not to be like desperately overly like, oh my God, and you're so amazing, because that also is counterproductive. So I was trying to just gradually get to a place where it was two people having a chat and like breaking down that initial thing. And when it happened with her, it was like incredible. Like, we had this intense conversation. So it went from this awkward 10 minutes of, oh my God, does she want to be here? To, oh my God, she is literally, like, her heart is speaking to my heart. We are having this amazing chat woman to woman. And it was just like, at the end of it, I could have cried with happiness. It was so amazing. So I think you just have to keep going and trying and also not letting your own insecurity turn your line of conversation into something negative or diggy or whatever. You've got to remain confident and nice. Like, you can't let, if they're being a little bit off or whatever, you can't then start to let your insecurity change how you would naturally speak. So there's so many little nuances that I think count.
And you can't be like too deferential if you really admire them. Like, you've got to be kind of on the level with them so that you can feel like you're appreciating them rather than you know what I find funny? It's, I guess it's one of those things, like interacting with strangers is sort of incidents of road rage. Because often, like...
what do you mean?
It's like both people suddenly realise that maybe they're both a little bit in the wrong. And then you've just had this like shouting match with someone out the window. And then you drive off and you're like... you just feel like embarrassed.
We've all done it. We've all done it. And there's that. I think we pick road rage, interestingly, because we've all got pent up things from the past, or it might have happened earlier in that day. And you're in the car, so they can't even really see you. So you think, oh, wicked, I'll just vent that onto the
stranger. But it's the beeping as well. Everyone's beeping. And then you're like, hey, you know, and then afterwards, all right, there's all this pent up anger. And then you suddenly realize, oh, actually, sorry, it's actually my fault.
I've done it so many times.
Fern, I love the fact that something's irritating you the day, you think, oh, I just vented onto this complete stranger.
Absolutely. I'd rather do that than vent it onto my husband. So, yeah, you in the car there who I don't know, who's just cut me up, you're getting it.
We do have to ask that normal thing which everyone asks. You know, I heard on your podcast that you've been homeschooling and things like that. And that's, that's quite full on, isn't it, having to do all of that this year and being a mum and things.
Yeah, I think for all parents out there, it's been incredibly testing. I don't know a single parent who hasn't found it absolutely overwhelming, because we're not meant to be teachers and teach our kids. You know, there's a reason that schools exist, because our kids don't they're not listening to us. I don't care what we say, they don't listen to us normally, so why are they going to listen to us when we're trying to teach them how to do fractions or whatever? Do you know what I mean? And then also, I don't think we're meant to be with each other all day, every day.
Like,
our kids have just gone back to school and they were home for 3 months to the day. They were bored of us. We were kind of trying to think of new things to do all the time and they didn't want to do it. And, you know, it's no one's fault. It's just that's the way it's turned out. And it's not easy. It's just it was really overwhelming. And also, I was sort of juggling quite a lot of guilt because I really, really love my job. So, you know, my husband was often in the house doing the homeschooling and I was in my little shed out here doing the radio show or podcast, or I'm writing a new book. And I really had to, I just struggled. I couldn't find peace with that one, that I was working, but I could be in there, just in the house there with the kids. So I found it mentally just an absolute head fuck.
Yeah, because I find what's really hard, if I'm thinking, so if I have an argument with my girlfriend, which sometimes happens, I find it very, I find it hard to kind of come into the room and then do a podcast. I'm still thinking about the argument that I've had or something else that I have to do. I have to sort of, I've realised more and more that
It means you're not a psychopath, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God.
And then I'm sitting doing a podcast. I happened with one of our last guest runs. That's what I was doing. I had to do it in the spare. And throughout the episode, I was just thinking in my head, I was going, fucking girlfriend, she doesn't know how hard this is, and you've now made it shit. And it's going on
it's
in my
real
head.
Job.
Yeah, yes, I know.
It's a real job, right?
Do you know what I mean, Fern? Do you get that?
Oh, God, I do. I get it.
You think it's a stupid little podcast? I have no idea.
Look, I so get it. But you know what? There are moments where the podcast helps the situation. So I had this about a month ago. I interviewed Rhonda Byrne, who wrote The Secret. I was in the foulest mood. I felt absolutely awful. Mm. Everything was going wrong. I was down on myself. My confidence was really low. The podcast was at night because she was in Los Angeles, and I don't love recording at night because I start to just like deplete in personality. No, my personality just goes. I don't have one. So I was really like, I don't know how this is going to play out. And she was so amazing,
really?
And just so full of wisdom. And she was so like upbeat and like ethereal. She was like, it's like talking to sort of a real life angel. And I sort of came downstairs and floated. And Jessie was like, who are you? Like, you were awful 2 hours ago, and now you're this sort of lovely person again.
I just think it's the connection you get with individuals. And I think that I feel very sorry for my little brother. He's 16 years old.
He doesn't have a podcast.
He doesn't have a
poor
podcast.
Thing.
He doesn't have a podcast.
he just has to use voice notes.
But they talk to actual people he knows.
Yeah, because I tell you what it is. Okay, when I was younger, right, what I connected with people with was like you'd go and drink, you'd listen to music, you would connect over sports, you know, whatever it was. And I feel like the younger generation lack that now. They connect over TikTok and social media, and it's not as authentic, I don't think. And you know, and the reason why I love podcasting is because you chat and you meet and you converse and all those different things, and I just don't think the younger generation do that as much as we do. And perhaps that's me sounding old and me just going, oh, you're never going to be saying this, but I feel Francis
is a podcast, you little runt.
No, I know what you mean. I think it is like, I've got stepkids who are teenagers, and you know, they are obviously on their phones a lot. And especially during the pandemic, you know, you can't really strip that away from them because that's all they've got at the moment. That's the only way they're connecting with other kids. But, you know, like say when I was growing up in the 90s, when I was a teenager, you were doing exactly what you just said, you know, really simple stuff like you're getting drunk in the park, you're going to someone's house, you were talking about the bands you were listening to, you were talking about boys you fancied, or if it was, you know, mixed groups, everyone fancied each other. And it was just really simple and really fun. And I think we really learned how to have conversations, give eye contact, all that stuff. And I don't want to sound patronising because there are loads of young people that are brilliant at doing that. But I think it's harder to get good at it because you can just record a really slick little TikTok video. You're doing the little dance and your makeup's all good. And that is supposed to represent your personality. Whereas that's performative and it's been manipulated or whatever. And it's not really you. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So, and I don't know. I don't really understand TikTok, so I probably aren't, you know.
Look like you did with that TikTok dance. You just,
just because I'm so young and cool.
Yeah, you've done this before,
no, I once downloaded it because I thought I need to know what this thing is.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I just didn't understand it instantly and deleted it again. I was like, I don't know what I'm meant to be looking at or how I'm meant to do my own video. I don't understand it. Like, that's tragic.
Me too. The same thing happened to me. I tried to work it out, and then I suddenly had this, you know, vision of myself actually knowing how to use it. And I said, I don't want to live in a world where I'm on TikTok.
I just feel like I'm at the age now where if I were to bust out a sort of Little Mix routine, mouthing the words, I could not go to the school gates with, you know, my face showing.
Jamie loves it.
I do it, but if I'm telling you, I do it, but it's like self-validation, right? I do it because I just put it, if I'm totally like, what? I don't, what? No, I really love dancing to Busta Rhymes.
Do you do the dances? Because I know there's other stuff you can do, like cooking, can't you? Like facials, I don't know.
Yeah,
no,
stuff.
I
what
are you
do...
doing on it? I don't really
He's
know.
He's on it for the twerking.
Right.
I do it because, what do I do? I feel like I'm quite creative and... and I think it's like an outlet to put things. What is it's actually?
You're really selling it.
I'm really selling it. I'm really trying to sell it without sounding super lame. I quite like it because it's an outlet for creativity. I quite like doing fun videos. I've recorded and done stuff ever since I was like 14 years old. I used to record videos and do different things. And so I quite like it for that way. The problem is that you go onto TikTok and you swipe through. And actually for me now, having had this lockdown, I've now gone to that place where social media didn't really affect me one bit. I was just like, oh, I just don't look at it. But now because we are so stuck not doing anything, I realize how much social media does affect you in terms of making you jealous, making you frustrated, making you irritated, making you angry, making you upset, making you happy. It gives you all these emotions at once and your day can be changed by social media, which I just don't think is a very good thing.
No, it's not a good thing because it's not real. And this is what I worry about, again, without wanting to sound patronising, because there are young people that won't fit into this category at all. But and it isn't exclusive to teenagers, but I do think because they haven't known anything else, it might affect them more. You know, I can remember a time clearly without having a phone and certainly without having social media whilst I was working, you know. For half of my career, there was no social media and it was bliss.
God, the good old days.
The good old days. And I do sound like an old fart, but I don't actually care because I think so we all, you know, even I'm going to turn 40 this year and I will even, like you've just said, look at something on Instagram and instantly feel like, oh God, well, am I meant to be doing TikTok? Does that make me a failure because
there
I'm not
go.
On it?
That's
do people
what I mean. Yeah.
Not think that I'm relevant? And you go into a spiral, a vortex of self-loathing and it's like, it doesn't exist. It's just another world on a phone that's not reality. Like, and you have to compartmentalise, right? That's sort of for fun on there. And then in my real life, right, am I a decent person? Oh, let's go back to even more basic sort of stuff than that. Am I breathing? Yes. You know, am I okay in this moment? Hopefully, yes. Oh, there might be a nice sky outside my window and there's some birds flying around. Okay, that's all lovely. Who's in my life? Oh, some great friends and family. And you start to build the reality of what's going on, whereas social media morphs all of that. And actually all it does is pull focus to something that's not actually important. It's
and pull you away from other people, from connecting with people around you. I find like I actually really hate social media. But I also find, I don't know if you feel this as well, like the more and more, because I'm not on TikTok, I'm not like really on, to be honest, I've muted everyone on social media, so I don't go on it only unless I just
muted
go.
Muted me?
No, I didn't mute you, I muted most people. But because I find it stops me going on and mindlessly scrolling. But I do find, like, I feel increasingly disconnected from that generation who are, like, on TikTok and, or, you know, I don't know what a WAP is or any of that stuff, but I feel like, you know, WAP. There's, like, a whole culture of that generation which I just don't understand.
And I think that's what's meant to happen. Like, if I was dressing like my stepdaughter and doing... all the TikTok videos or using the language they use, etc. I just don't know if that would be right. Yeah. I don't think there's no right or wrong, but I just don't know. I think she would be more uncomfortable with that than anything. And, you know, if I look at my parents' generation, of course, like their music differences, the music tastes differ. And you know, the sort of the TV shows they watch and their influences and the people that they look up to, it's just ever-changing. And I don't think we have to feel this pressure to keep up with everything.
That's the problem.
No,
that's
like
Jamie.
What we have
tell
to do
that to
is,
Jamie.
You know, like enjoy the bits that you enjoy if it makes you feel good. But there shouldn't be a pressure that you have. That's why I think I've relented from being on TikTok. Like I like using Instagram. I'll use Twitter occasionally. But Instagram I find... I do have a nice dialogue with people that feels, you know, genuine and it feels helpful to me and it feels helpful to them. And I really enjoy that. But I've got no fear that I have to keep up and be on Snapchat, TikTok, all these other things because I'm quite content with what I'm doing and where I'm at. And if it's all too many, you're doing all these things, are you really enjoying it or are you doing it out of fear? I think you have to kind of...
That's totally...
Also, are you doing the other things that you could be doing, you know, which may be more productive with your time, like reading a book or...
Exactly.
Doing a podcast with Fern Cotton.
There you go, Francis.
Quite.
You know, Fern, that's such good advice, and people
Jamie,
like myself should take it on board. But it's really, really good advice.
He is actually, I don't know if you've noticed this, Fern, but he's always on top of the latest trend, right? You love Cardi B, right?
Come on. Okay, listen, we got to that in the podcast, Francis, where we need to have the question of the week.
All right.
Yeah, ready,
what
go.
What occupation did the person who invented cotton candy have? What was his job? I thought this is because it's like Fern Cotton.
Okay. There's your link. I like it. Okay.
I like that. Well, I'm imagining it had nothing to do with the confectionery world and he was trying to do something else and it went wrong and he invented cotton candy. I'm just trying to think backwards. What would he have been attempting to do?
Yeah.
Was he a mechanic, an engineer?
A mechanic, an engineer?
I love it, man. You went, oh, what do you think? Ah, I'm just going to guess. I'm going to go, yeah. Tree surgeon. Don't know, Francis. I'm going to say tree surgeon. Right. Oh,
it's
cling on for part two,
ironic.
Everybody.
It's ironic.
Okay, fine. Let's cling on for... Fern, you're going to stick around for part
two?
Well,
I have to now because I need to know the bloody answer.
There we go. We'll see you in part two, everybody.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.